Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast joins us now, as he does every Friday at 8. We left him hanging for a couple of minutes. Chris, good morning, buddy. How you doing today?
Morning, fellas. How we doing?
Pretty good.
I think we're wonderful. It's a great day. All right, Chris.
It's a great day.
Steelers signed Jaquan Brisker last night, and it's for 1 year, $5.5 million. I think it's a shrewd move by one Omar Khan in an offseason where there's been a flurry of shrewd moves by the Khan man. Your take on Brisker as a Steeler, what his role will be, and what kind of player he is.
Well, first, let's start with the kind of player that he is. Jaquan Brisker is a flexible safety. He played pretty much half and half in the box and free safety for the Bears last year. And you look at the years that he's been able to play and stay healthy, that's the majority of his career. He flexes between positions. I think what Jaquan Brisker is he is the rotational safety that's going to add to this, the mix of how they move guys around. And he's going to be the preferred option of the veterans that they have to play the free safety role, because that's something that he has done more often than, say, Jalen Ramsey or Deshaun Elliott, or even the also newly acquired Darnell Savage. I think that's where Jaquan Brisker is going to play. But I also think that Jaquan Brisker is a placeholder. I think that one thing that Omar Khan has done a really good job of is the classic Kevin Colbert move, is that, hey, we're going to try to get starters at every position around the roster where we had holes, so that way we can go into the draft. We can say, hey, if this position pops up over here that we really think this guy is great, we can go get that position and not be stuck with needing to fill a specific need because we didn't get this position in free agency, which I do think safety will be a priority in the first three rounds for the Steelers, to get a young guy who can play in there. Even if he doesn't start right away, he can be a guy that learns and eventually becomes the preferred free safety for this defense.
Now, you did mention this guy's name, but what is the trickle-down effect, and what does this do for Jalen Ramsey? What is it today? He's due a bonus of like with 3-point-something million, possibly, I think, right, Crowley? Something like that?
Yes, it is. Friday, big commitment day. Ramsey due $2 million roster bonus today. Additionally, 3.5 of his base becomes fully guaranteed today.
So, with that being the case, could you see Jalen Ramsey not be a part of this team? But if he is a part of this team, where do you see him fitting in this back end?
Look, that money was real, and I thought that at the start of the offseason, I thought there was a chance that Omar Khan moves on from him in some way to avoid paying that. But every instance that he's gotten a chance to talk about Jalen Ramsey, he has spoken about him glowingly and has made it clear, hey, we're going to keep this guy around. And I don't think that you do it in this way as glowingly as he has, and then just turn around and say, nah, we're cutting this guy, unless you're setting up a trade of some sort. So I think Jalen Ramsey sticks around. But here's the cool thing with Jalen Ramsey, is that Jalen Ramsey, with his speed right now, you want him more as the slot to strong safety type of safety role, which is also something that Deshaun Elliott does. And so I can see a lot of three safety formations in this upcoming defense that Patrick Graham's going to run, and Jaquan Brisker will just be the preferred free safety option to drop back deep and play that kind of role. But make no mistake, part of what being safety is in today's NFL is being fluid. You can't just be a free safety or just be a strong safety or just be a slot corner. You have to be able to do all the different things, come up in the box, you know, guard, you know, cover tight ends, cover receivers, play deep center field, play deep half. All those things are part of being safety, and that's where I think Brisker helps them temporarily. But I would not be shocked if the Steelers are in the market for, you know, if they don't get aggressive in the first round with Caleb Downs or Dylan Thienemann, I would not be shocked if they went after like an A.J. Halsey out of LSU in the second round, or Genesis Smith or Bud Clark in the third round, because there are guys who are athletic enough to play multiple safety roles and draft to either start right away or come in and just learn for like a year or two, then and eventually transition into that role.
What's the book on Genesis? Just kidding. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Something about Carter, I make the worst jokes of the day with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like routinely.
Right.
Routinely happens.
Yeah. I just let you go.
Yeah, my bad. Carter, is Patrick Queen good? Is he a good football player?
He's a good football player. The thing is, the Steelers are paying him really, really good money. And so they want more from him. And there's no doubt about that. But here's the other thing about Patrick Queen. He brings, what, 5-6 years of experience in the NFL? And he's 26 years old.
Yeah.
You don't get that combination of experience too often. The other thing that I think that really got in the way of Patrick Queen the last 2 years is he's still learning to be the green dot. When he was in Baltimore, that was Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith was Batman. He got to call the shots, and Patrick Queen could just fly and play. And I think what you've seen is Patrick Queen learning how to call the shots in the defense, you know, get everyone else on point, keep himself on point, and then also be the primary linebacker to make plays. And because of that, I think that the Steelers might look at him as an opportunity to say, hey, you know what? We need a linebacker who is well-versed with the team, with the rest of the players on this defense, can communicate and kind of be that guy for a few years. I wouldn't be shocked if the Steelers found a way to keep him around for another year or two and spread out some of his money a little bit. I also wouldn't be shocked, though, if they did trade him and they said, hey, you know what? We're going to be aggressive, and linebacker becomes a bigger need in this draft class. But to me, Patrick Queen, his youth at 26 years old is an asset, is that if you keep him around, whoever has him for the next 3 years is probably going to have him for the best point of his career, because I do think that he's been growing into this role. So Patrick Queen, good player, but they're paying him really good player money. And that's the question, is do they think he'll rise to that? Big question, I think, for Patrick Graham and this defensive coordinator and the defensive staff.
Are you content with Calvin Austin and Connor Hayward moving on?
I mean, yeah, I think both were just, you know, valiant effort guys, really hard workers. But at the end of the day, you needed more from certain positions. I think that the Steelers are just loaded up at tight end right now with Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington. They can go get another H-back type to play the third tight end role in this draft class for very cheap. They can also they're revamping this wide receiver room. They traded for Michael Pittman, who I like the move to get. And here's the thing: even though they now have DK Metcalf and Michael Pittman, I would not preclude the Steelers from drafting a wide receiver in the first round and being aggressive, or even trading up for a wide receiver in the first round. Because think of this. Think if you get a Jordan Tyson, a Mekhi Lemon in this draft class. Those guys are separators. Oh, and that's what Pittman and Metcalf aren't. Metcalf is really good at sideline routes, slants, and speed and deep balls. Pittman is really good at beating the press off the line of scrimmage, being shifty, you know, getting quick into his route, but he doesn't have the deep speed. These two guys, Lemon and Tyson, would be those separators to create on the deep ball, on the short ball, and can be that guy that grows with these two veterans. And by the time the rookie receiver would be at the end of his deal and to be due money, Metcalf and Pittman would be at the end of their current contracts with the Steelers. So if they drafted one super early, they would basically load up this wide receiver room, say, hey, we've got a young superstar that we think is going to be our stud for the next decade. We've got two veterans that are really, really good and going to kind of guide them into the NFL. It would just make sense if that was the first round pick there.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Chris, Hayward's deal led directly to Brisker, did it not? I mean, I think that freed up $5.5 million in cap space, and then they signed him for $5.5 million. I think tidy business, and now we're not going to have to hear all offseason about the whole Hayward drama.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's you know, it's Cam Hayward, you know, being part of the team, being good to the team, they're good to him. I said last year, like, you know, when all this was going down, Cam Hayward just wanted, you know, a million here, 2 million there. He wasn't asking for the world when he did that last year. And then, you know, the Steelers didn't give him the world. And I think, and he was fine. He played great, was fighting all year long. You didn't notice a drop off in effort. He was still chasing guys 30 yards downfield when someone forgot their assignment. It just makes sense. He doesn't look like he is aging out of the NFL right now. So I get doing this thing to move some money around. Give yourself another year to have rights to keep him around. So if he plays great again this year, you're like, well, heck, we'll just keep it going. Why not? But big move by Cam. Good to not have him, not have to worry about that situation moving forward. So certainly a good thing. And heck, I mean, I still think Cam Hayward is one of the best defensive tackles in football. So this is a win-win on both sides.
Did you go to the gala last night?
I did not. I was getting a lot of work done. So I was not able to, I had to do some other things and handle that. So I was not able to go and witness Mike and Kia Tomlin. Granted, I could have told you that Mike Tomlin was not going to speak to reporters in that instance. Just when I saw that press release, I was like, yeah, good luck. Mm-hmm.
Do you think Ray Fittipaldo got to eat shrimp cocktail? Did the media get fed as well as the guests? Probably not.
I hope they did. You go all that way, you get in there, you should get an opportunity. Hey, the Rooneys do a great job of feeding us overall. So I hope that the reporters got treated to something while they were there. But the Rooneys typically do a great job feeding us, throughout the year.
Then maybe they should sign Chris. He would fill out that NFLPA survey a little bit kinder than the players do.
Hey, the cooks got good grades.
Oh, dude,
those
guys rock. They are the absolute best down there. All right, Chris, a texter writes in, Carter's the best expert you bring on every week. Yes. How about that?
Yes. Very smart.
Truly honored. Thank you.
And then I try to ruin it with Book of Genesis jokes. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Chris.
Not an Old Testament guy, I guess. Mm-mm. Is that old? Old or new?
I mean, I would have made of like a Sega Genesis joke.
Damn it! Like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right.
I love those games.
Yeah, they're the best.
Knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
Was that movie good?
Very. All three of them were very good. Jim Carrey. They gave Jim Carrey like full autonomy to just, and he hasn't acted, I guess, in a long time, and they like swayed him to come back, and he's basically at the point now where he's like, yeah, I'll just make Sonic movies, and they just give him, they don't even like basically give him a script of like what his character is. Like, he came up with all that. It's like ad lib.
Is his face on screen?
Yeah.
Does he look goofy? What is with us as a society, by the way? I feel terrible that people are commenting like that about Jim Carrey's looks in his, not advanced age, but as he gets up there, like, oh, celebrity doesn't look the same as they did 30 years ago. Oh, shoot, I wonder why. It's because he's 30 years older. I hate that.
And a lot of people said it was a clone of him. Like, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Wait, I thought there was somebody, though, that, like, made their face look like his.
Yeah, but that was a lie. They tried to say that they showed up at that gala, whatever, and they were acting like they were Jim Carrey, but it was actually Jim Carrey that was there. He was there with his kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should have shown up with a green face.
With the mask. Somebody stop me.
What are you talking about? I just meant St. Patrick's Day weekend.
The Mask?
Great movie. I made another bad joke. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll react to what Chris had to say coming up next. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the Fan Morning Show is always brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Our absolute favorite man on planet Earth, Greg Brown, joins us at 9 o'clock ahead of our trip to Bradenton next week. Harry, you had something that you wanted to say?
I just wanted to ask if you're okay. You were in a great mood, and then like 7:50 happened, and you just got real mad.
I just screamed an expletive as loud as I've ever screamed one in this studio, and it's because I clicked out of a window that I needed to have up on my computer. That's all that happened.
Mm. Okay.
So, yes, I am a little on edge. Today, I pooped my guts out, and I'm tired, and...
You also said I was messing with you. I don't think I've done anything that egregious.
You turn my microphone off, you turn the music up real loud, and I'm just in a fragile state of mind where I'm not able to handle that. We got a lot of stuff going on coming up here. I get the parade tomorrow. The logistics are an absolute freaking nightmare. Drop my one kid off, take my other kid, go here, go there, get the parents all at the same place.
Kallus, you know what's going on, right?
I got to go on a plane next week.
That's what it is. Every time he has to travel, he starts to unravel. You know, the stomach pains and the anxiety.
Well, Doran and I
lashing out.
Oh, my God. I wonder if the stomach stuff was just born of anxiety.
100%.
Because it's not like it was all day. It was just
right.
A couple hours.
Yeah. I mean, I think this happened to you whenever you're going out, before you were going to Ireland.
I had a panic attack the week before.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I think that we'll be on the flight with you, so it'll be like a group thing. We'll protect you or not. We'll all go down together. So if anything bad does happen.
Right.
And I just got my Xanax refilled. I just got the email. How about that?
There you go. It's a positive.
Things are good. You guys will be next to a zonked out Crowley on this flight.
Have me out like a light.
I think we probably get there, and kids, don't do this, but I think we probably get there early, you know, have a pint or two before we get on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Relax as we fly up into the air.
I won't do that. I got sensitive ears, and I don't want any alcohol to affect that.
What do you mean?
Did you mean like drink before we get on the flight?
Yeah, I think I was pretty clear on that. What's not clear is what the
hell
you're
talking about. Don't get sassy with me. I'm saying no. I don't want to drink.
Because of your ears? What does that mean?
Because I feel like if I'm intoxicated and because like my ears are real sensitive. And when you go,
you've said that. What does that mean?
If we go high enough in altitude, my ears will start to pop in a very uncomfortable way. And that mixed with a little bit of a buzz might hurt.
What the hell are you talking about? It's going to make it better. Your ears are going to pop either way, but instead you'll have a buzz going. What do you mean?
I feel like it would be more uncomfortable.
Probably not.
Or like I'll feel bloated.
Just do what you want. You're a grim.
Thank you. That's all I needed to hear.
You're fine.
Not what? Why are you not going to do it? What is it? That don't make sense.
But I don't think like one or two beers will hurt you.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I'm not going to pressure him to drink. I would never do that.
That's all you had to say. I'm not making fun of you for being anxious over the safest form of travel.
Trying to help. Just trying to help.
Can I take a Zanny, though? Is that okay?
No, you can't take my prescription. I wouldn't give it to you anyway because that's morally corrupt, and I need them. So no. They only give you like six.
Right.
Because they're like, we don't need you being on these.
But you'll buy me a beer?
Yeah, I'd buy an airport beer, of course. Of course I'd buy an airport beer.
What's the difference?
A lot.
There's nothing like an airport beer. Have you never had an airport beer? Probably not, because your ears, your sensitive ears, you've said.
Well, I never really thought about mixing alcohol with flying. That just makes me nervous, because I don't know. What if I throw up?
Why would you throw up?
I'm just nervous. Why would we crash? It's the safest form of travel.
There's people who throw up on it. That's why they have the throw up bags.
Has he ever thrown up before?
No. Well, yeah, I have thrown up before, but not on a flight. I've only ever been on like four flights. So.
I'm not saying drink 15 beers. I'm saying drink two. Take the edge off.
But you know me.
You guys are ridiculous.
What do you mean?
About this flight deal. You both are just like,
how am I ridiculous? I'm just saying I don't want to consume alcohol. He's the one saying that we're gonna have the most catastrophic outcome.
I have not said that. People are scared of flying because you're not that I think anything's going to happen. It's just you're flying through a steel tube in a mile in the sky.
Safest form of travel by far, statistically.
Yeah, that's right. The more we talk about it, the less it helps me. So let's stop. Plus, we were supposed to talk about what Chris Carter said in that segment. I'll take it in a different direction coming up next. The loss of Calvin Austin and Connor Hayward means it's the end of an era for the Steelers. Apparently, if you accidentally close a tab on your computer, you can press Control-Alt-T and you can open it.
Didn't know that?
No. I just tried it. It didn't work, but I didn't close a tab. Let me close this tab. Don't need it. Bang. Control-Alt-T. 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 It's not working. I got. And then you pretended like you knew something that didn't exist. How dare you?
I thought you were going to say, did you know that? And I was going to say no, but you didn't. You just believed me, so it's okay.
Donnie Football just popped in here. I guess we're going to get Chauffeur down to the draft scene, the draft setup in 40-some-odd days. That's not bad. I was scared about parking down there.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be a pain
that's
in the ass.
That's a great move.
Great move.
You know what? You know what else I heard that was like inside information from that meeting? Apparently, the NFL was trying to work with like the U.S. Army to build a temporary bridge from the point to the stadium. and it's not like they had a year to do this. They were talking like they were going to construct it in like months, and it was only going to be able to go one way. So they decided not to do it.
Yeah, one way. As if we didn't have enough bridges. Let me tell you something. The words temporary bridge,
mm-mm. No good.
We just discovered a sentence that scares me more than anything in this world. Temporary bridge.
No good.
I mean, not that I wouldn't trust the military engineers. They know what they're doing, but I ain't walking across no friggin' temporary bridge. What are you kidding me? Absolutely not. Thank God they're not doing it.
I know.
It would only have been able to hold one way, because if they had two ways, it would have been max capacity and probably would have fallen.
Not good.
You're saying for people to drive or walk on?
Walk on. Like to take you from the point to the stadium back and forth.
So what's the one way?
I don't know what one way it would have been. Probably to the point, and then you'd have to find another way to go back.
To or fro, which way?
But why couldn't you walk back?
Because if you have
There's no way it's a one-way bridge.
Well, there's not a one-way bridge.
If you have two lines of traffic going instead of just one, I guess the max capacity for the weight it could hold would have been exceeded, and then it would have fallen in the river.
It's Control-Shift-T, and it worked. You know who's kind of shifty? Calvin Austin III. I mean, come on, guys. Not bad.
You are 0-for-4 today.
That's a great one! Are you
This is the worst performance of trying to be funny that I've ever seen.
I wasn't trying to be funny.
And I tell you that you should do stand-up. I actually give you, I'm like, you should go down to the improv and actually try it. Because I think that you are funny. And I think that you could be a comedian on the side. But this is the worst performance you've ever put on during our show.
That was
I haven't laughed one time.
That wasn't an
Not once.
I wasn't trying to be funny. I was just a non sequitur. How else would you have got there?
Non sequitur?
Okay, the wit of what you're trying to do, 0-for-4. Bad.
Well, Kevin Colbert went 0-for-7 in the 2022 draft.
That wasn't funny either.
It wasn't supposed to be. It's a non sequitur. Kenny Pickett drafted 20th overall, then George Pickens, DeMarvin Leal, Calvin Austin III, Connor Hayward, Mark Robinson, Chris Oladokun. Now all gone. Nobody from that draft class wound up sticking.
Nope.
Who's the best player from that draft class?
Pickens.
Who was the best player here?
Who was the best player while they're playing for the Steelers, or who's the best player like now?
Well, because the best player now is obviously George Pickens.
Like, yeah.
They didn't swing and miss on that player evaluation. He's one of the better receivers in football now, but who had the best Pittsburgh career? I think you could make an argument that it was Pickett. I mean, Pickett did win more games than he lost. He led them to a couple of comebacks. They had a winning record his rookie year. It's probably still Pickens, but I think it's slim Pickens, Doran, between those two. You like that one, Harry? 0-for-6?
So bad, I wasn't even paying attention.
Thank you.
I mean, like, this draft class, I don't know.
That's a terrible draft class.
Yeah.
Terrible draft class.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst in Steelers history, probably, because you do weigh swinging and missing on Kenny Pickett pretty heavily. Like, if you think you've got a franchise quarterback and you don't, that's going to set you back. And he was drafted in 2022. Here we are in 2026, and they have no plan for the future. I mean, like, their plan is probably next year's draft or maybe Will Howard. That's not a plan with any absolutes. That's just a, hey, here's how we're going to attack this thing.
Mm-hmm. Nobody was a steady, if that makes sense, in this draft. Like, Kenny Pickett, you're kind of hoping that you're, you know, you strike the luck of, you know, him being next door. So he wasn't like a for sure thing. George Pickens wasn't a for sure thing because of his off the field or on the field antics. That's why he slid down as far as he did. DeMarvin Leal moved positions. Calvin Austin was hurt his first year. Connor Hayward was a small move tight end that you know, tried to use on special teams. Mark Robinson moved positions. Chris Oladokun, yeah.
Super Bowl champion. Two-time Chris Oladokun.
Like, there isn't one player there that I was like, oh, like that guy's going to be a mainstay.
And I think Kevin Colbert could one day wind up in the Hall of Fame. And I think Kevin's a tremendous guy. I think he would admit that draft class didn't go so hot. And it's a big reason why they have not won a playoff game in the last 9 years. And Mike Tomlin had a lot to do with the draft class, and every draft class, we know that. Like, Mike Tomlin, he had his hand on the scale. I mean, Mike Tomlin was going to have final say in a lot of instances. But if you whiff on an entire draft class, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. Like, you can't make up for that. Texter, someone tell Crowley to look up for non sequitur. Oh, boy. Did I get that wrong, too? Am I that bad today? I'm thinking of segue.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. Non sequitur would be a conclusion or statement that does not logically follow from the previous argument or statement, and those were all very logical. It looks like the last two draft classes, though, from Omar Khan had a massive swing and a miss. I mean, Roman Wilson, he's now entering year 3 I can't think of anything that he did. I can't think of a big play he made. Like, he scored some garbage time touchdowns. He tried to leap over the defender the one time and fumbled the ball as they were salting a game away. Like, I can't think of a single thing he's done that has been impactful to the positive.
At least the last two third-round picks haven't really done anything.
No. And that's a premium draft slot. They got three of them this year.
I mean, I wouldn't draft offense with my third-round picks, to be honest with you, moving forward. Like, I think third-round picks are like defensive line, safety, maybe a guard.
The problem,
offensive skill
position. Yeah. I mean, the unfortunate thing is that they were so good at taking receivers in that round and beyond before. Like, that was a place where Kevin Colbert really thrived as general manager. And that's a long list. We don't need to bore people with all the names. You know the names. But Caleb Johnson is going to have to fight an uphill battle to make this football team.
Yeah, and I think that they're going to draft a running back in the middle rounds.
Yeah, there's no reason that this staff needs to believe in a guy who was supposed to be a fit for the previous scheme and wasn't even that. And there's no reason that this coaching staff needs to be enamored with Roman Wilson. Now, it could go the other way with Roman. Like, they might like Roman. I don't know. But what's he giving you to like?
Nah.
So I can criticize Kevin Colbert's final draft, and I think we all should because it was bad. But they've had a couple of big swings and misses the last few years. Omar Khan has. I think he's done more good than bad, but that's bad. Texter, it's disappointing turning into the video stream and realizing everyone is actually much older than they sound. Thanks.
What?
Appreciate that. How old
we're the youngest
we
here. We're the youngest at the station.
Doran's 37. You turn 38 at the end of the month. I forget the exact date. When's your birthday?
31st. Muller just turned 41?
Yeah, Moldy's the old head. And Pony's already 40, right?
Yeah. Or he's turning 40.
I'm 35. Harry's a young whippersnapper. He's 26.
And Starkey's what, 60?
Is Starkey 60?
I think so.
We just talked about my age this week, and you still don't remember.
How old am I?
37. No, 38. Sorry. You just said it to us.
We just talked about how old I am this segment.
I'm 27.
You think how old do you think Crowley is?
35.
Correct. He had me at 38.
You are 8 years older than me. Yes.
I have aged terribly on this job. Like, there's a photo I posted when the United States beat Canada in the gold medal game, and people were commenting like, "What happened to you, bro?" There's the big dark circles under my eyes.
Wow.
Wake up every day and I deal with you guys. That's what happened.
Deal with us.
Two kids. Texter, one last one. Crawley, you're as good at telling jokes as Harry is at talking sports. That is to say, not at all.
I could talk about sports. Baseball's a sport. Oh, I win.
I'm funnier than you are good at talking sports. I'll tell you that right now.
But I think I'm funnier than you.
I don't think I disagree with that, actually.
Yeah, different type of funny.
Yeah, but not intentionally.
It doesn't matter. I didn't say what my intent was. I'm just funnier than you.
Pomp 65?
I don't know. Yeah. Right. Sure.
Tensions are rising in the studio. We'll tell you why in a minute. Greg Brown, Pirates broadcaster, tremendous human being, joins us at 9 o'clock. Fan weather brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. Looking to retire soon? Let Secure Money Advisors get your retirement on track. Today, high of 53, high winds. Tomorrow, high of 46, overcast. Dora needs a real ID, doesn't have one. And his passport's expired. And if you don't have a real ID, you need a passport. So now you got to go get a real ID. And you got to get your hair cut and go to the dentist today.
Correct.
You're having a day, a Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I got to change this juju around a little bit. Something positive needs to happen.
You are mad, and it makes me laugh because I'm uncomfortable more than maybe actually thinking it's funny. Because I don't want you to have a bad day, and you're in the midst of one.
Yeah, it's trying hard, but I'm not going to let it happen.
Ain't nothing going to break up my stride. Was expecting one of the two of you to
Ain't
finish.
Ain't nobody hold me down. Oh, no. I got to keep on moving.
Thank you. Meanwhile, Harry, I then panicked. I was like, okay, well, if Doran didn't have a real ID, there's no way in hell Harry's got a real ID. And I go in there and I asked him, and he was offended that I would ask.
No. That's not what I was offended about. You said, give me your wallet. Give me your ID. I said, okay, it's right there. He said, do you have a real ID? I said, yes. And you were like, no, do you have like a real ID? I said, yeah, Jack Wagon, look at the star on my license. I know what that is. I'm not a dummy.
How do you know what
How
that is?
How the hell did I become the most prepared one for this flight?
Nah, don't leave out. See, give all the context. Your mom told you you needed to get it done. Now, don't leave that part out. Your mom was like, Nicholas, now you have to go get this done.
When I flew to Texas in 2022, I've had that thing stamped on there since 2022.
Oh, it probably expired, dude. You should look at that.
It's when your license expires, dummy.
You called me a dummy.
Yes, you're acting like I don't know anything. Once my license expires, they redo the identification when I get my new license.
When's your license expire?
2027.
Okay. Fine. All right, good. Fine. Texter writes in, you ready for more, Doran? $69.50 for a real ID. You're going to pay $70 for that.
Do I have to bring anything with me?
What a scam!
I would bring your expired passport, your Social Security card, and your birth certificate.
All three?
Those are the best ways to identify you. You want to be safe, right?
They can't just look me up.
Birth certificate?
It identifies who you are. I'm just saying be safe. Don't do what I say then. Go with nothing and see what happens.
They can't go to pit.edu?